Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, let's picture this. You've got this critical legal case, right? The clock's ticking. And the whole thing, the entire timeline is just stuck. Why? Because the defendant is basically, well, playing hide and seek masterfully. The frustration, it's huge. You're knowing exactly where they live, but being completely unable to get those critical legal papers into their hands. It's maddening.
That exact moment, yeah. When all the normal effort just hits a wall, that's the breaking point. It really is, becomes this huge bottleneck in the system. And honestly, that's why professional process serving is even a thing. They step in where, the standard rules just aren't working anymore, but crucially, they still have their own strict rules to follow.
Absolutely. And that's our mission today. We're going to do a real deep dive into this world of the difficult serve. We want to unpack the strategies, the high stakes observation, the tactics, but also the really strict ethical lines these pros have to walk to handle deliberate evasion.
Exactly. And we're pulling this straight from how it works on the ground, looking especially at how the legal frameworks shape these strategies. We'll use foundational laws, something like the Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, as a reference point. Because this isn't just, randomly knocking on doors. It's operating completely within the law while tackling a very human problem.
Right. So the goal for you listening is to really get this blend of persistence, smart strategy, and importantly, legal boundaries. All the things that stop an evasive person from just hijacking the whole justice process. So let's start right there. How does a professional even know? When do they cross that line from dealing with someone who's maybe just busy to someone who's actively dodging them?
Yeah, that's key. It really comes down to pattern recognition. You've tried the standard stuff multiple times. You move past that when you see specific signs stacking up that tell you, okay, this isn't accidental, this is intentional refusal. There are, I'd say, four main telltale signs that signal you need to shift gears into strategic action.
Okay, four signs. What's the first one? What's indicator number one that the game's changed?
Well, the biggest red flag, usually the first one you notice, involves the home itself. You try serving multiple times, reasonable hours, but even when you can see the lights are on, maybe the car's right there in the driveway, someone's likely home, but that door just stays shut every time. It's a clear, deliberate, nope, not acknowledging you.
Okay, that's definitely frustrating. But I guess people could genuinely be busy or maybe avoiding someone else. What about when they start using others as a shield? Family, roommates.
That's the second sign, and you're right. It often goes hand in hand with the first one. You start getting this consistent story, almost rehearsed, from whoever does answer the door, maybe a spouse, a roommate. They always say the person is not home or out of town, maybe indefinitely, even if you saw their car pull in an hour ago. They essentially become gatekeepers.
Right. Okay. So that covers the defense at home. What about outside? Their behavior, does that change too?
Oh, absolutely. That's the third sign. A really noticeable shift in their routine. Their established patterns. Let's say the server noted they usually leave for work around 8 a.m. pretty consistently. Suddenly they're leaving at like 6:15 a.m. or maybe 9:45 a.m. They're actively trying to dodge those predictable times the server might show up. They're making their own patterns unpredictable.
Trying to disappear in the gaps of their own schedule.
Precisely. And then the final sign, this one's more digital, is when they just shut down contact from unknown sources. They start screening every call, ignoring texts from numbers they don't recognize. They know a server might use a temporary number to try and confirm if they're home. So when a server sees these four things happening together, refusal at the door, gatekeepers, routine changes, and screening calls, they know. They've officially entered difficult serve territory.
Okay, so evasiveness confirmed. You obviously can't just keep knocking politely at noon anymore. Time to open up the professional's toolkit, as you called it. Let's talk tactic one, the classic, maybe the most famous one, the stakeout. But hold on, isn't like a real stakeout super expensive and maybe legally tricky? How do professionals justify sitting outside someone's house for hours? The cost, the time.
That's a really important point because the stakeout we're talking about, it's not what you see in movies, sitting in a car for 2 days straight with binoculars and stale coffee. No, it's much more pragmatic. It's discreet observation, really. And the justification, it's an investment. You invest that focused time to gather solid intelligence, which actually ends up shortening the overall time needed to get the serve done. It avoids wasted trips.
Okay, so it's targeted. What are they actually looking for then? What kind of intelligence?
They're looking for those small, almost unavoidable points where the person has to be visible or accessible. Tiny cracks in the routine. Like when exactly do they walk the dog? What time do they usually take the trash cans out or check the mail? Or even just walk from the front door to their car? Learning these little predictable moments lets the server time maybe just a 5-minute approach perfectly. Instead of burning hours hoping to get lucky, it turns, you know, a generic stakeout into a really precise, effective move.
Ah, that makes a lot more sense. So use observation to find that weak spot. But okay, if the defendant is already on high alert, expecting someone during normal hours, those times are useless. How do you bring back the element of surprise?
Right, you have to deploy unpredictability. Since they're probably braced for a knock between, say, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on a weekday, the server has to completely break that expectation.
So we're talking about hitting the edges of the day, the unusual times.
Exactly. The sources we looked at really highlight three windows that tend to work well. First, the early morning serve. Getting there just before they'd normally leave for work. They might be groggy, distracted, defenses down. Second, the late evening serve. You know, well after dinner, they've settled in, maybe watching TV. Definitely not expecting a knock at the door. And third, weekends. Especially like Sunday mornings, people are often running errands, doing yard work, just generally less guarded than during the work week.
Okay, shifting gears a bit. What if the home is just impossible? Maybe it's a high security building, or they genuinely never seem to leave during observation windows. The next big tactic you mention is number three, the workplace serve. Why is the workplace often such a reliable backup? And how on earth do servers handle that discreetly? That seems fraught.
Well, it's reliable because short of quitting their job, they pretty much have to show up there regularly, right? It's a predictable location. But you're absolutely right. Serving someone at work involves navigating some tricky territory, legally and socially. You have to complete the service, obviously. And in most places, including jurisdictions that follow principles like those in the LCCP, you absolutely must do it without causing a big scene or major disruption.
Right. So how do they actually do that? Maintain privacy when they're delivering, let's face it, usually unwelcome news in a public or semi-public space?
It demands utmost discretion and professionalism. Often the server might coordinate quietly with building security or maybe front desk management first. Or they might wait until the person is clearly visible but in a slightly more private, common area, maybe near an elevator bank, or just stepping outside the main entrance. The server simply identifies the person clearly, maybe confirms their identity quickly, states the nature of the documents, these are legal documents for you, hands them over swiftly, and leaves. The goal is quiet efficiency, speed and silence. Because causing a big disruption, making a scene, that could potentially be viewed as harassment, which is a huge problem. It could risk the server's license and even complicate whether the service is considered valid.
Okay, that covers the main physical strategist. But what if the defendant is just really good at evading? They actually disappear, move somewhere new, no forwarding address.
Yeah.
Then what?
That's where you said the digital detective work comes in. Tactic four, advanced skip tracing. Exactly. That's kind of the last resort tool for when someone has truly gone off the grid. Address-wise, your standard Google search or public records check, it's not going to cut it. Advanced skip tracing means using these specialized commercial-grade databases, the kind professionals use. They cross-reference data sources that just aren't available to you or me.
Okay, what kind of data are we talking about here? Sounds intense.
Well, it involves legally accessing and cross-referencing things like proprietary utility connection records, maybe new professional license registrations, sometimes non-public postal change of address information, even real-time business filings if they own a company. Synthesizing all that data, it can turn what looked like a total dead end into a single confirmed new address. It's powerful. And then, of course, you can go back to using the physical tactics, the observation, the surprise, serve at the new location. It bridges the gap when someone physically relocates to evade.
Wow. Okay. So we've got observation, surprise timing, workplace serves, high-tech skip tracing. It's quite the arsenal. But like we said at the start, this isn't the Wild West. It's all governed by laws and ethics. It feels really important to stress that knowing what you can't do, the ethical lines, the can't-do list, is just as vital as knowing the tactics that work. Crossing those lines can wreck everything.
Couldn't agree more. A professional process server operates under specific authority, and it's limited. They must stick to the rules, codes of ethics, you know, often mirroring legal statutes, like the NAPPS Code of Ethics, for example. If their behavior jeopardizes the case itself, they've completely failed, no matter if they handed over the papers.
So let's spell them out. What are the absolute hard boundaries, the things a professional server will never do?
Okay, number one, and this is a big one, they will never impersonate someone they're not. Especially not a police officer, a government agent, not even like a utility worker to try and trick their way inside or gain trust. That's flat out illegal impersonation and invalidates the service immediately.
Right, no posing. What about physical boundaries? If they know the person is just hiding behind a locked gate or inside the house, is there any leeway to, hop the fence or jimmy a lock?
Absolutely not. Zero leeway. They cannot trespass. Period. That means entering a locked garage, climbing over a fence, slipping through an unlocked but closed gate without clear, explicit permission.
Awesome.
Off limits. They have to respect the physical integrity of private property. They can't just, reach through an open window to drop papers on a table. Even if it seems easy, it has to be a proper handover.
Okay, no trespassing. And when they finally make contact, what about the interaction itself? How controlled is that?
That brings us to rule three: no threats, no intimidation, no harassment. The interaction has to remain strictly professional and, frankly, transactional. Their job is simply to provide notice via the documents. It's not to argue, not to threaten consequences, not to engage in any kind of conflict. Just deliver and leave. And finally, kind of related, they have to respect other forms of private communication and property. They cannot open mailboxes. That's a federal offense anyway. They can't rifle through things on a porch or access any private item that isn't directly related to the delivery of the documents. Putting it all together, what really stands out is that serving someone who's actively evasive, it really is an art form. It takes experience. It's about blending that careful observation, the strategic timing, using powerful tools like skip tracing when needed, but doing it all while staying perfectly within those professional and ethical lines. Because the second a server steps over that line, the validity of the serve and potentially the entire case could be thrown into question.
And bringing this back to you, the listener, understanding this whole process, how sophisticated it actually is, it's important. It shows the checks and balances at play. It really highlights the procedures needed to make sure the legal system can actually move forward and that one person trying to dodge service can't just stall justice indefinitely simply by, not answering their door. So let's quickly recap this deep dive. We saw that evasion isn't random. It has clear signs, patterns of behavior. Professionals counter this with a toolkit: detailed observation, hitting them with unpredictable timing, discreet workplace serves when necessary, and that powerful skip tracing for finding the truly lost. And crucially, every single tactic is tightly controlled by strict legal and ethical rules. No impersonation, no trespassing, no threats.
Yeah, and we've really dug into the operational side, right? The tactics process servers use when facing evasion. But it does raise a really interesting, deeper legal question. One that laws like the Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure and similar rules in other states have to grapple with. What happens if all these expert strategies, the stakeouts, the workplace attempts, even the advanced skip tracing, what if they still fail? What if personal service just proves impossible despite best efforts? What are the broader implications for the case then? And how does the law allow for alternatives that are still legally sound? Specifically, how do courts then pivot to other methods? Things like substituted service, maybe leaving the documents with a suitable person at the residence, like a spouse, and then mailing a copy. Or even the really final option, service by publication, where you literally put the notice in a newspaper because you simply cannot find the person. That's the next complex legal step, dealing with the what if, when even the best serving strategies are exhausted.
That is a perfect legal cliffhanger. Thinking about what happens when even these expert tactics reach their limit. Excellent food for thought. Thank you for joining us for this really crucial deep dive into the difficult serve. We'll catch you next time.